Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. So good to see you and not see you. Just knowing that many of you are out there gives us a little bit of hope here in this sanctuary as we look at these empty seats. We think of you, we pray for you continually as we're moving through this extraordinary situation. I don't think any of us, no matter how old you are, any of us have seen anything like this before. And so it's new territory constantly in trying to figure out what the next move, the next step is. This is definitely a different type of celebration of our Lord's entry into Jerusalem. Today, as I minister to you, the Lord laid a subject upon my heart that is bigger than the time frame. So I will move very quickly. But I'm taken by this passage of scripture in Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It's a question. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. And he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Father in heaven, this morning as we open up your word, and we truly know and believe that it is your word, we reach out to take hold of the truth that you have for us today, an important truth, a truth that can give us encouragement as we go through our walk in this world. I pray that your Holy Spirit would not only be here upon me as I'm trying to share this truth, but also upon each and every one in their homes or wherever they're listening, that, Lord, that you would penetrate everything else that's going on, that you would touch lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you can see, our passage this morning, Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, Matthew 27, verse 19, and then also 27 to 43, it's a monster. As you look at a time clock along with this, it seems to be absolutely impossible. But I want to try this morning to move through this truth, because it is a comprehensive truth. And it centers around this reality that quite often we concentrate our thinking about the work that was done at the cross. And oh my, how the Lord ministered to us at the cross. When he gave his life on that cross, he gave so much for us. But this morning, I want you to capture a little larger picture. Because in this, of what the Lord has given to us this morning, is a picture of not just what he did for us at the cross, but also everything that led up to the cross was done for our benefit. And I hope to show that to you today. It is going to center around, as a subject, insults. Perhaps you have experienced insults in your life. And we're not talking here today just about any old insult that people may throw out. But we're talking about those that come to us because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I should preface this to say that if you never take your stand for him, if you never witness for him, if you are an anonymous Christian or a closet Christian, then perhaps you don't understand what I'm talking about when I say being insulted and taking grief and pain for following the Lord. But those of you who are taking a stand as a believer, you understand quickly. And it's not just from people outside the home. Quite often it can come from people right in your home. And we'll uncover a little bit of that as we go along. But I want you to see that the things that Jesus endured, he endured for us. He bore our grief, our shame, our pain. And not just at the cross, but in all of those actions that lead up to it. The word insult that is used in the scripture, and I want to point out a specific scripture in Romans chapter 15 to you. But the word insult may be more definitely defined in the King James Version, because it is reproach, disparage, defame, to revile with abusive words. There are times that as believers, as we let our witness be known, that people say some pretty rugged and cruel things. It's important that we realize that Jesus took those insults upon himself. Listen to these words from Romans chapter 15. We who are strong, Paul says, ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, that is Psalm 69:9, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Say that one more time, because it's important to this message. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Today, I want us to look at seven insults that Jesus endured going to the cross that parallel the insults that we endure as believers and reveal to us how he's taken the sting. He's taken the effect of our suffering upon himself. Now, I will say that it is necessary that you and I recognize this fact and then let him bear the pain. If you take the sting, if you take the hurt, the pain upon yourself when someone insults you for your faith, you miss the reality of what Jesus did for us. So once again, it's very important that we, and I'll have to remember to turn this thing. There it is, Romans chapter 15, 1-4. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. I usually have help with this, but I'm trying to do it myself, but who knows? We'll see what happens. This, along with everything else, is strange and different and new. And hey, we put up here, you probably can't see it right now, but new beginnings, that's our theme for this year. So we're trying new things as we go along. But let's look at this first one. The insults of misunderstood purpose. And we find that there in the 21st chapter of Matthew, what is called the triumphant entry of Jesus. I see something in here that maybe is not right at the surface, but let me point it out to you. You see, sometimes we're misunderstood in the intent of our actions or our words, and insults come our way because of them. For instance, as a believer, you may say the wrong thing at the wrong time, or you may say the right thing at the wrong time. Perhaps speaking too quickly before full thought has been processed. In your zeal and your desire that others would know your Jesus, that you throw out something. Perhaps something that you think would be helpful, but it's taken as an affront. And all of a sudden, here comes an insult because they misunderstood your purpose. Your purpose was to show them love, to show them Jesus, to show them an opportunity to come to know the Savior. And they took it, oh, who knows how they took it, but they began then to insult you. The triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem was totally misunderstood by the people. It was a fulfillment of prophecy that this would take place, that he would be received, and that the Hosannas would come forth. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That was purposed by the scripture. And definitely he was and is a king. But the reality was that they were looking at him as a earthly ruler, one who would come and rise up, take hold of the people of Israel, and lead them in revolt against the Roman government. It's interesting because there were those who actually did that a little bit later. In about 66 AD, they rose up and they drove the Roman government and enemy out of Jerusalem and had for a very short period of time a victory. But then Nero rose up, brought a full army down, and completely wiped Jerusalem off the face of the earth. They were trying in their flesh to recognize Jesus as a Savior, but a Savior, political Savior. We know from his mission that he came as a Savior to change the hearts and the lives of men and women. Now, I can say that there is a day coming, maybe not so far off, where he will return to this earth and he will come back as that glorious conqueror. He will come back, set his feet upon the Mount of Olives, which will split in two at the glory of his coming. No donkey, no riding in, but coming out of the clouds, he's going to come in great power and glory. So there is a day where he will come as a mighty victor and take over and change everything on this earth. But in that day, he was coming to change the hearts and the lives of men and women. Very easy for our purposes as believers to be misunderstood, even as Jesus' purpose was misunderstood. The second thing this morning that I would have you to see is the insults of false accusations. In the witness of your faith, have you ever been falsely accused? Perhaps someone accuses you of being, hear this one, holier than thou. Perhaps you're accused of some perceived wrong which you did not commit. I have found that with the proclamation of being a believer, that all of a sudden all eyes turn towards you, and any mistake, because we all are still in the flesh and still make mistakes. Do I get an amen? Those mistakes are then held forcefully against us. Sometimes we didn't even say what we were accused of being said. It's incredible when you do this work. Sometimes you don't put the words in the right places, and then your intent has to be known by those who prayerfully love you and care about you, or else they accuse you falsely. Jesus was innocent. In Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse number 11, you have Jesus before Pilate. And for the sake of time, I will not read all of this, but it says, "Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus replied, 'You have said so.' After that, then all of the accusations began to pour out against him, and Jesus stood and did not say a word." False accusations. They brought in people. They brought in witnesses who gave false accusations. In verse number 19 of chapter 27, it says, "While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message. 'Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today because of him.'" Hold on a minute. Imagine being perfect. I know it's a stretch for all of us, but imagine being perfect and then being accused. Some of you may know the pain or the insult of being falsely accused or even being guilty, but having already paid or given to the Lord the penalty for your offense. But then it's crushing to hear the rumors spread and the pain that comes as people throw insults and injury at you, even though you've been forgiven, even though your life is under the blood of Christ. Even though the accusations may be completely false, as they were with Jesus. Why did he stand and take what he took? He did it for us. He was taking the pain of our insults upon himself. He stood there as they threw false accusations against him and did not open his mouth, because you and I, those who would follow after him, those who would believe in him, those who would put their trust in him, because we, who perhaps we were guilty, but we received forgiveness from him, but had to endure the accusations, the insults that came from others. I think if you think this through, you would agree with me. Those who walk in the Lord, who try to have an honest witness before mankind, there's a pain that comes, a stressful pain that comes, that says, "Oh, don't open your mouth again. Don't tell anybody, because they'll take it wrong." And the enemy loves to use those things. But I'm saying to you this morning that Jesus bore in himself all of the pain, all of the difficulty, all of the injury, so that you and I, when we face the insults of men because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can let it roll right off of us. Like they say, water off of a duck's back. It can roll right off of us because our Lord Jesus has taken the full penalty, the full pain upon himself. Let me give you another one. The insults of misunderstood words. Oh my. In verse number 39, it says, "Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, 'You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself.'" Let me ask you, in your practice of faith, are your words ever misunderstood? Often, if you are consistent in the practice of your faith, every word you speak is scrutinized and evaluated. Often individuals who do not understand the life you're trying to live will be critical and even harsh or hurtful in their denial of the truth. Many times, as you would try to use scripture, as you will try to live out what you are studying, what is being put inside of you, the word of God may just come pouring out. And all of a sudden, "Oh yeah, here we go. Okay, give us another scripture." You may even be accused of being a preacher. Now there's an insult. In the conversation, in the midst of your conversation, you quote anyone in the world that you want to quote. Everybody will take it in. Quote the Bible. When life circumstances arise, when somebody's going through something, you can quote Shakespeare, you can quote Einstein, you can quote anybody you want to quote, and everybody will go, oh, yeah, okay. Quote the Bible and watch what happens. All of a sudden, then, yeah, okay, now don't start preaching at us. We don't need that. Yeah, maybe you're beginning to understand what I'm talking about in regard to these insults that come our way. We need to understand that Jesus bore our insults. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. You see, they said, you said you're going to destroy the temple and raise it back up in 3 days. Those who would take the time to know what Jesus was talking about, he was speaking of his own body. He was getting ready to be crucified. But they totally and completely misunderstood his words. Here's another one. The insults of misunderstood position. I am a Christian. I am not ashamed of the message of the cross. I hope you can say that today. I hope that you can make that proclamation and that you are not ashamed to make that proclamation before the world. But you see, not everybody around wants to hear that. Why aren't you doing what we're doing? Why aren't you going out after work? Why aren't you going to do these things that we're doing? Well, I am a Christian. And I believe in the power of the gospel that has changed my life. Oh, okay. And then here come the insults. Well, I saw you. I heard you. You did this. All of it begins to come. And if we do not reckon with the reality of what Jesus did for us, you will get lost in that. And you will shrink down when in fact we should square our shoulders and realize Jesus, all of those insults, when they come to us, all of those insults, he has taken upon himself. They said to Jesus in verse number 40, the second half, come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Throughout the ages, one of the most controversial topics of theological discussion is the deity of Jesus. It was wrestled with in the 3rd century. It is wrestled with in the 21st century. He was a great man. He was a teacher. He was a prophet. He was the Son of God. That's the reality. That was his position. Remember the voice from heaven? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Father spoke out from heaven to identify Jesus as his Son. And yet, they are using it as an insult against him. In your life and mine, it may sound like this. Oh, yeah, you're a Christian. Okay, yeah. And by the way, Jesus knew that his followers would be hated because of him. Listen to what he says in John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why they hate you. Don't be surprised, he said. But know this, he bore the insults. He took them upon himself. You and I do not have to fight our way back when someone insults us. We do not have to try and justify our words. We don't have to back down from what we have said. Our position, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, is set both for now and for all of eternity. Again, square your shoulders, stand up tall, take hold of what Jesus did as he was heading to the cross when they falsely accused him and yelled at him, "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." Remember those words, because he stayed there on the cross, bearing the penalty, bearing the agony, bearing the pain that you and I would experience as we follow him. Look at the fifth one. The insults of misunderstood power. It's difficult to live in two worlds. We as believers are still part of this world. We're affected and infected by all the same things that everyone else is dealing with. On the other hand, our faith places us in the hands of our God, and the promises of his word shape our journey. The Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" You are not your own, Paul says. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God in your bodies. You see, the Spirit of God lives in us. If we have confessed our sins before the Lord, if we have believed that his sacrifice upon the cross was for us, if we have invited him to come in and take over our lives, then we belong to him and his Spirit lives in us. Isaiah 54:14 says, "In righteousness you will be established." The righteousness of Christ. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you surrenders to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into the flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who created the destroyer to work havoc. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Hallelujah. So when the insults come, remember this, in verse number 41, "In the same way the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself." It may sound like this: "Well, why are you sick? I thought you were a Christian. Why are you going through that difficulty? I thought you were a Christian." The insults can come at the weak moments, at the struggling moments of our lives. We need to know that Jesus bore our difficulties, our struggles, our pain, both of words and actions, when our power in him is misunderstood. People don't realize that nothing touches a believer except that it comes through the hands of the Lord. And his intent is not to bring us down, but to lift us up. It is showing his confidence in us as we go through difficulties. That's the reason James says, "Count it all joy when you go through many difficulties," because you need to realize God is trusting what he is putting in you. He's trusting the power that he's putting in you. He will bring us through. I love that passage in Romans 8. Where he says, "We are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Weakness of our flesh and the susceptibility to diseases and struggles of this world are not a true picture of the power that exists in our lives, because the Spirit of the Lord is within us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that lives within us. That's power, that's glory, that's presence, that's ability. I have to say, shamefully, too often we do not take hold of what is in us. We do not walk in the authority that the Lord has given to us. We do not stand upon the promises that he has blessed us with. But that does not negate those promises or the power that is within us as his children. Misunderstood power. He took it. Oh, listen, he could have called 10,000 angels and they would have destroyed the world and saved him. But instead, he stayed the course so that you and I could be set free. Let me go to the sixth. The insult that came from a misunderstood plan. Oh my. He's the king of Israel, it says in verse 42. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. That's another way of saying what they said to Jesus earlier. Give us a sign. Give us another sign. Give us one that will convince us that you are who you said you are. They misunderstood his plan. He came into this world, was born of a virgin because it was necessary. He lived a sinless life because it was necessary. He offers himself up in a substitutionary death because it was necessary that blood be shed for the remission of sins. Jesus paid it all. It's impossible to explain to a world absorbed with the present to convince them that we who believe in Christ are part of a bigger plan. What you see on the outside, what you see trying to live out this life in this world is a shadow of the reality. Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. One of these days, we're going to see face to face. Right now, we are living these things and accepting these things by faith. With perhaps a confirmation here and a confirmation there of a healing or a miracle that we see and we reach out and take hold of it. But basically, this is living by faith. But our plan is that faith will become sight. We're living in a plan, in the midst of a plan that will unfold, even as Jesus planned. He stood there and he took the insult. Why? Because he was living out a plan. Oh, I'm so thankful today that God has had a plan for my life. The most important plan that I could ever walk, greater than any great wealth that I might accrue, greater than anything that I might reach out and take hold of in this. Houses, lands, cars, things. They're foreshadowed by the greater plan, the one that God has for my life. Because you see, this life is but a short season. As Hebrews says concerning Abram, he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. A long time ago, I made a decision that I would seek after God, his will, his desire. I tell you, it has put me at odds and has caused insult as people have watched my life because I say, oh, you were on a track to move forward. You were on a track to get a claim. You were on a track. Why did you go and start all over again? Because that was the plan of the Lord. Insults come when people do not understand the plan. They did not understand Jesus' plan of redemption. He took their insult. He paid the price of a cross upon which we deserve to hang so that he could give his glorious plan of life to us. I've always found it interesting in my own family how little they understand of the calling and plan that God has had for my life. Even at times in many years that they walked through that plan with me, all they could see was the humanity. It's probably the same for you. When you are about the plan of God, people around you may not understand, even those closest to you. But if you're following his plan, oh my, how it will unfold one day when we leave this world and are in His presence, oh, it'll be worth it all. And may I say, the insults that fall on you as you are walking His plan, just know He has taken those upon Himself. Finally today, the insults of a misunderstood future. Goes right along with this one. Matthew 27, 43, he trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God, if he wants him. Oh my goodness. The insults that come to us may sound like this. Well, if you're really a Christian, then why are you going through that? Oh, yeah, I understand. Yeah, okay, heaven, we're talking about heaven now. What's interesting to me as a pastor, and I've had hundreds of funerals in my ministry, I've never stood by a casket and had anyone say, yes, my loved one here is going to hell. Even some that don't even know how to define it, yeah, well, they're going, he's going, he's up there in a greater place with that one up there. Everybody thinks that they're going to heaven, but that's not the reality. The reality is, if we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, if God has not unfolded His plan and His purpose for our lives, our future does not include heaven. If you're listening to me, wherever you're at right now, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, if you have not accepted His plan and His future for your life, you need to know heaven does not await you, but it can. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus walked down that mountainside with people that didn't understand what was happening because He was working a plan. He was working out His purpose. He was living this out, walking this out, because He was going to a cross for you and for me. And our acceptance of that means that we have a glorious future that awaits us. Perhaps it's impossible for any people who do not believe in the afterlife or simply believe that everyone goes to heaven to understand that every man has a future beyond this life, either in heaven or in hell. I can guarantee you, as you get close, if you are one of those that doesn't die suddenly, but as you get close, you will deal with this question, whether you're willing to deal with it today or not. It is a question that will come very, very much to the forefront of your life when you're facing death. The privilege of heaven comes to us at the price of one Son of God who bore the insult, who bore the shame for each one of us. The insult concerning our future was placed upon Him. I conclude with this. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus took our insults. Misunderstood purpose, false accusations, misunderstood words, misunderstood position, misunderstood power, misunderstood plan, a misunderstood future. When you're taking it on the chin for walking with Him, remember this: the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Father in heaven, I thank You today for the truth of Your word. It is a living word. It is a powerful word. Master, I pray first for those that may not know You this morning. What a better day to invite You into their lives than on a Hosanna day. That Hebrew word that means our Lord saves. Yes, Lord, You save. You come into our lives. Hear the prayer this morning, Father, of those who would pray that prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me of my sins and be the master of my life and send your Holy Spirit to reside within me. Change my plans. Change my future. Change my words. No matter what anybody may say, I will hold on to you for the rest of my life. Help those who do not know you today to pray that prayer. But Father, I also pray for every believer that is hearing my voice today. May we stand up and square our shoulders and not be ashamed of the gospel. Though people may throw insults and make hurtful statements to us, and maybe at some point even physically abuse us because of our faith, may we know that you took upon yourself the insults that come to us. We do not have to strike back. We do not have to try to make our voice rise above theirs. We do not have to try to defend ourselves, but rather we can just lean into you a little bit closer, knowing that you bore our insults upon yourself. Thank you, Jesus.